But it doesn't mean that you have to go without to buy investment property. It just means that you have to be very careful in managing your money and to not be extravagant.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we're speaking with Jan Summers, a successful property investor and author of a series of award-winning property investment books. Like renovating a house from the ground up, Summers will share her story and show you how you can manage your money by thinking big but starting small. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Best-selling author of Building Wealth Series and investment property expert, Jan Summers, relives her long journey from school teacher to mother to property investor to one of the most reputable sources of education on property in Australia.
My name's Jan, and I've done an awful lot, not only in property investing, but I've been a teacher, I've been a barmaid, I've done just about everything in life.
So to begin with, what do you actually do in any given day?
Well, I'm a bit of an early bird, and I'm also a late lark too. I'm usually up between about 5 and 5.30 because my husband goes cycling. I have a cup of tea, and then I always go for a walk. I've been for a walk for about the last 50 years of my life, very early in the morning, sometimes with a dog who only recently passed away, but now I do it with my daughter who has a young baby. I do a lot of paperwork when I get back between 7 and 9, pay bills, do things, and then I have a late breakfast about 9 o'clock. And after that, it's more paperwork, or it might be I've got a renovation to do somewhere. It might be cutting trees, fixing kitchen cupboards, sewing curtains, or it might be these days minding the two grandsons. Or we go to Europe once a year to do a hiking trip, and I might spend a lot of time planning for that. This year we're going to the Pyrenees, so I have a pretty full day, not too many spare moments, but in the middle of that I squeeze a light lunch. then about four, I'll do another hour's exercise, a little bit more intense, maybe a swim, maybe a bike ride at the gym, never on the road. Might be just anything to fill in that hour before dinner. And we have an early dinner, about 5.30. Watch the news. I'm not sure what for. You can miss it for two months and catch up on where you left off. And then my favourite shows, whodunits like Agatha Christie, something on the History Channel, rugby league in season, cricket. And then I go to bed about 11. Unless I get stuck on Ancestry.com, and then I'm up until about 2 in the morning.
Wow, you have a very, very full day there. You mentioned that a lot of component of your daily part, your daily ritual, seem to be exercise, which is quite important. Does that help with the mindset and also help you with what you do day to day?
It does. It always has. You not only think better, but you sleep better. I've been the same for 50 years of my life. I just love getting out to do something and enjoy the world for what it is.
With over 45 years of property investment experience, it's obvious that Summers feels like she's done everything there is to be done in life.
Done just about everything in life, and I can look back and I hope that the experience has been very helpful to other people.
Summers has also developed many and varied skills over a decades-long journey, which she has put to good use in her properties.
Yes. I guess you asked me in the beginning, how would I describe myself? And I think probably the best answer in hindsight now is I was just a jack of all trades. I learned a lot about a lot of things. I wasn't necessarily a builder or a renovator or a good financier or not even the best property investor, but I was prepared to have a go and learn a lot of things along the way.
Property investment was never the plan for Summers, who didn't even know that she wanted to be a teacher until she fell into it and found her feet very much like an entry into property investment.
Yes. Stumbled is another good word to use, because that's how I got into teaching. I did 3 years at university. I took a year off because I couldn't think what I would do next. I spent a year in Europe and travelling overseas before anyone knew what the word was, travelling overseas. And then I came back and I thought, what do you do next? Well, so I did a diploma in education and became a teacher. And I was always intrigued about the research. I knew how to dig out information. That was my strength. And so once I'd finished teaching and we had a young family, I was able to dig out sufficient information on property that made it work for us.
After retiring from high school teaching in the 80s, Summers continued her love of education into a new passion, property investment.
When we had a lot of properties underway and I was busy buying property and doing things to property and having kids and family, and I didn't really have time for teaching then. But I did join. I did do a lot of teaching in the sense that I lectured on property investment to probably 2 and 3 times a week for many, many years, which I really enjoyed.
Again, it was an accidental passion that Summers found herself in, as originally she had absolutely no interest in property investment.
We grew up with the idea that we knew how to save money. We were taught a very good monetary value, and we were also taught a very good work ethic. And it just seemed natural that the first thing you did when you got married was that you bought a property, which we did, more because that was the traditional way of doing things. We moved to the other side of town, we bought another property. We moved back to the other side of town, we bought another property. And this went on for quite some time before we went back and forth to Sydney. We actually never bought a property in Sydney, but I can't say I ever became interested until the mid-80s, when I had family, and strangely enough, with 3 children at home, I had a lot of time to make a lot of phone calls. There was no internet then. Do a lot of homework, understand the tax system as it related to property, and understand how good an investment it had been to us in the last 10 years. So I never started out with our first property, with property is a good investment, let's get rolling.
Yes. It's a very humble journey that you've gone through.
I hope that I can short circuit that plan for a lot of people by saying, yes, look, get into your first home, because there's too many people who will just hesitate and say, I can't afford it, but you can. And you've really got to look at the basics in property and get started straight away. You can't start with a 6-bedroom, 3-en-suited house. You've got to start small. We all started small somewhere. I have people who say to me, oh, look, we've just bought our first home and it's got 3 bedrooms and 1 bathroom and it's only 10 squares. I said, well, that's really good, because our first home was 3 really small bedrooms, 1 really small bathroom, and it was only 7.4 squares, or 74 square metres in the new terminology. So we started really, really small. And people need to get that idea that if you want to get into the market, I don't apologise, but sorry, yeah, you do have to start small.
Absolutely.
Think big, but start small.
Coming up after the break, we delve into Summer's property investing journey on how she accidentally stumbled into success.
But our property investing started mostly by accident. We bought our first property in Kippering, which now, incidentally and accidentally, is only about 100 metres from the new Kippering railway station.
Also, hear about how she became a definitive voice in property investment in Australia, which is how she came to teach about property investment.
I had a lot of information about property that no one else had back in the late 80s. I had an enormous amount of information. Well, what do I do with it?
Hey, podcast listeners. Your written iTunes reviews encourage me, and they help other people find the Property Investory podcast. If you appreciate the stories I share, please write your own review on iTunes or Stitcher. Just visit likemypodcast.com and follow the easy steps to subscribe and to leave your review. Thanks. The traditional expectations to buy a house after marriage is what began Summer's investment journey. From there, it was a simple matter of just not letting go of the next home that they lived in, and instead turning it into an investment.
We grew up in the Redcliffe area, both my husband and I, but we went to the same high school together. But our property investing started mostly by accident. We bought our first property in Kippering, which now, incidentally and accidentally, is only about 100 metres from the new Kippering railway station. That's been very popular lately. But each place that we bought, because my husband shifted around so much, we managed to keep. More because we didn't really know what to do with it, and we'd been taught to save and to not squander money and then to put it into something such as, something decent. We were always taught to save, always for a rainy day, but I'm not sure when the rainy day ever come. We just managed to get it into property.
From there, Summers quickly picked up the tricks of the trade that would lead her to the buy, rental, hold method favoured by many property investors, with herself and her husband doing most of the renovation work themselves.
Even from the first few properties that we bought back in the late 80s, one of them I bought was only a half-finished house, and I was able to get in and do some tiling, and which I'd never done in my life before. Even our own home, we sanded the floor ourselves. And my brother is a builder, and he's done a lot of renovations in England. So if I ever got stuck, I'd just ring up and say, hey, look, I want to stick this piece of stainless steel on top of a piece of Laminex because someone's put a pot down and it's burned a hole. What glue should I use? So I've always been prepared to ask questions for answers that I don't know.
And that's really
And that's the way you learn.
It didn't take long for Summers to become the definitive voice in property investment in Australia. From years of research and hard work, Summers realised that she had something truly special and important to share with the world, which is how she came to teach about property investment.
Probably because I didn't want to go back teaching. I didn't want to teach kids anymore who didn't want to be there. But I had a lot of information about property that no one else had back in the late 80s. I had an enormous amount of information. Well, what do I do with it? I wasn't going to teach high school for kids who aren't interested in what I was offering. And so I started out doing a few little seminars in a local real estate agency with about 10 people. And I wasn't really paid anything at all, and I just really enjoyed it, and I got to sell a few little sets of notes that I had put together. So that was my introduction, and then it just caught on like wildfire. That all of a sudden I had lots of invitations to speak, then I developed a more concrete strategy, and I was able to research the book that we put together in 91, 92 to explain why the strategy had worked. Now, digging up all the statistics on property over 100 years enabled me to say, I know property works, we've done it, but here's the reason why, and here's all of the research on shares and property to explain why and how we did it.
The journey simply continued from there, with these little seminars to an entire book dedicated to sharing Summer's knowledge.
No, well, the stapled notes turned into a little manual that was called Manual for Residential Property Investors, which was about 50 pages. I had a cousin print it for me. He was in the printing industry, and we had 5,000 printed because it didn't cost very much to print 5,000, and I used to take them along to seminars, and before I knew it, within the year, they were all gone. They were all sold. So at that point, I virtually devoted a whole year to putting together a book, and the book was the first of the Building Wealth Through Investment Property series. So I completed the book. I paid for my own editing. I paid for my own printing. In other words, I did the works, but I didn't know anything about marketing books. So I went along to a distributor at Heron. Heron were book distributors at the time. And I said, look, I've got this book, but at that time I'd already been turned down by Penguin and someone else and someone else and someone else. And he had one look at it and he said, well, yeah. He said, if you can get a publicist, then I think we can do this. Well, I did get a publicist who introduced me to the world as the housewife millionaire, which the name kind of stuck. And did the Ray Martin on the Midday Show and a few current affairs, and it was just like a whirlwind. It absolutely blew me away and just took off, because no one had ever explained before how you invest in property. What's the bones and of investing in property? How and why does it work? So I had a little formula and a little winner. But I didn't set out to write a book and then sell millions of copies. It was just putting all this information down, and then I had to, and printing it ourselves and researching it ourselves, and then finally we put it to market.
Summers has never been one to hang around after she lost the passion for something. The seminars had been an exciting chapter of her life, but it was not forever.
I virtually finished doing seminars now in about 2004. I had belonged to a skipping organisation that my daughter was very keen on, and I decided with my organisational skills that I could organise a world's event, which we did. We had people from about 30 different countries come to the Gold Coast, and we had the World Championship skipping on the coast. So I took a year off because I could afford to take a year off, and I really enjoyed doing it, and I thought, I probably enjoy doing this, and I don't necessarily need to go back doing seminars anymore, which I really did. I didn't do it certainly for the money or for the sale of books. And when I stopped enjoying it, it was time to stop. Mm. And probably about that time, although we had been involved in renovating properties on a small scale, before that, that's when I became much more involved. I'd be the first to go and check out the kitchens and check out the roller doors and do a lot ourselves from that point on.
However, it has not all been smiles and easy work for Summers over her investment journey, where the fickle nature of the property market could have been the end of her.
Yes, we had bought quite a lot of properties in the 80s, and with the clear intention of keeping them. I already had this buy and keep mentality back then, except that we had been so successful, I thought, well, we've been very successful. I can afford to dabble a little bit and buy a property and renovate it and do it up and then flick it on and make even more money. So we bought a property in 1988, and we paid exactly $50,000 for it. And it was a dump, but we decided we could renovate it and then on sell it in a short period of time. So we got in and ripped out the carpet and did everything that we could possibly do. I can't recall exactly, but we probably spent $3,000 to $5,000, 10% of the property's value at the time. Mm-hmm. Thinking, well, that's bought it up to 55, maybe we can sell it for 60, 65, and that's a good start with a renovation. So we got the same agent back again, and he walked in and he had a look and he said, you really want to know what it's worth? I said, yeah, I'd like you to sell it for us again. He said, well, I still think I can only get $50,000 for it, the same price that you paid. I thought, bugger, what have we done all this work for? All this work and spent all this money, and now it's not worth anything more than what we paid for it. And it probably wasn't. It was started a dump, and it really was always a dump. We probably needed to spend much more money on that to make it work. Mm. So we decided to put some tenants in it. We decided to put some tenants in it for the 2 or 3 years, and probably more through to follow my commitment and at least make something work. The market turned and we decided to sell it. And that was about 1989. The market had really, really shot along through the end of 88 and 89. There was a share market crash in 87, followed by a property boom because all the money poured out of shares and into property. And we were lucky to sell it at 86,000.
That's not really a bad story.
But it wasn't because of our skill in renovating. It wasn't because we had picked the time of the market. We were very lucky. We weren't experienced in renovating. We shouldn't have had a buy-sell mentality, and we were just lucky that the change in the market got us out of trouble. And from that point on, it's really been a very strong buy-to-keep philosophy.
That's interesting. So from that experience, it really taught us or taught a lesson to us all that you can put in a lot of money into actually renovating, but not necessarily will actually increase in value in a short period of time.
That's right. And it also teaches you that you need to identify your skills. At that stage, I was a basic hammer and nails girl. I didn't have a lot of skills in knowing how a kitchen was put together. I do now because I've done a lot of renovations, all with the idea of keeping the property and just making it more rentable. But at the time, you learn a lot about yourself. I wasn't skilled enough to know what renovations needed to be done, and I really didn't have the backing or the financial backing to say I can buy this and be able to flick it on and make 10 or 20, and if I don't, well, I'll just buy another one and make even more money. So it was a good lesson in not only identifying your personality but in identifying your skills as well.
The best moment for Summers was at the very beginning of her property investment journey. Where still a novice at the game, she discovered how to use equity to build her portfolio to the impressive but undisclosed figure it is today.
A few years probably, I was in Sydney when I had one of those aha moments that we'd gone down there in the early 80s, and we had quite a few properties in Brisbane, and we wanted to buy into the Sydney market, but I didn't think that we could afford to, because at that stage, and probably now too, property down there is twice as expensive as is in Brisbane. And so I thought, well, that means we'll probably have to sell two properties in Brisbane in order to buy down in Sydney. But I did have a chat with a real estate agent, and he wasn't too interested in me because we had one income. I was pregnant with our first child and I didn't have a job. And here I was asking a lot of questions about property. So he was trying to fob me off until he discovered that we did have a lot of property in Queensland. And he made a very profound statement to me then. He said, "Lady, with what you've got in Queensland, you could have probably buy four properties down here in Sydney." And he explained how using the equity and borrowing the money, and I come home and I thought about it and I started looking up some more properties, and I thought, no, it took another few years before the idea gelled. In fact, it was probably exactly 4 years. It was 87 by the time we were on a roll and it all fell together.
Wow. Isn't it amazing? I mean, time always tells. And back at that point in time, what do you remember how much the properties were in Brisbane compared to Sydney?
Oh, yes, for sure. The properties in Brisbane were around about the 50,000 mark, and in Sydney we're looking at 100,000.
Wow. Okay.
So compare that to today. The average price, or the median price in Brisbane, is about the 500,000, give or take. But the median price in Sydney is over the million mark now. So I suppose we're still relative in value. All that's happened, and even when I wrote the book, the property's values were still of that nature. I tell people, look, if you think the book's out of date, just go through and add a zero to everything.
That's so true. It's interesting how the market cycles continues to follow that previous history. History seems to repeat itself. And you've just said it yourself, is that Brisbane was half the price of Sydney. And in today's dollars and terms, it's still the same thing. And that's going back almost 30 years ago, actually. Or 25, 30 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, 35 years ago. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, even going back to 72 when we bought our first property, that was always the case. We bought our first property at 11,000. At that time, Sydney properties were around about the $20,000-$25,000 mark. That's how it has been and it always is. And I guess that's my strength in property, is the longevity that I've been in the industry, and I've seen these things happen and come and go. And over almost 45 years of since we bought our first property.
Rather than keep every property they've bought since the 70s, Summers and her husband have begun selling off some of their investments to reduce debt, and as they near their 70s, due to the work that is required to maintain so many properties.
In the last few years, we've sold a few properties to wind down the debt. I mean, my husband and I, we're approaching 70, and it's time to look at other things. And for want of, well, we can't continue having a huge portfolio. My kids keep saying, I can't look after that, Mum. And so it's time to probably just, we have moved on a few in the last 2 years.
So, after doing so much and accomplishing what seems like everything there is to accomplish, what is there left to be excited about for Jan Summers?
Probably it's a complete turnaround. That now our family has grown up, and I hope that some of the information that we've learned along the way has rubbed off, and clearly it has, because they've all been able to buy property. So I'm very keen to pass on even more information to help them. One of our kids is doing a renovation, so I can help them know where the kitchen benches and walls are, and knock out walls, fix drainage problems, help them to work out the right way to borrow money. I help draw up the plans for my daughter's house. So I think it's been time to help the family. I think I've helped a lot of people along the way. And now that my kids are all old enough, and I think they've got the property investment message well and truly, I can channel a little bit more time back into them.
So, is there Summers' legacy? Will we be reading the next book in the line of succession, or are the Summers kids on their own path?
I think they all have their own careers. It's something that we've been very strong on. It's not like the farmer who hopes that the son will become the farmer and so on ad infinitum. I had a special interest in property and renovations, and my husband had a special interest in computing, but it's not something we've ever said, hey, look, here's the 6 inches deep of the manual that goes with the computing software program. You can take that over if you want. They're interested, but they're not interested in this business. And I think it's really important to allow children to develop their own set of skills and channel their energy into what they really want.
So, inspired by this story and what Jan Summers is excited about today, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory Podcast, where we talk about how to apply the strategy.
Okay, it's really simple, and it's so simple that the people are looking for something complicated and something that needs a university degree to interpret. It's not like trying investing in the share market and guessing derivatives. It's really simple.
To success habits for property investing?
Those personal habits have been handed down from my parents, and I think my children also have developed a very good sense of monetary value.
To resources she recommends?
Back in the 80s, when I was learning a lot and learning about spending habits, I was a great fan of Noah Whittaker.
And that's in a future episode on Property Investory Podcast. Hey, podcast listeners, do you want to learn more from Jan Summers? Well, today is your lucky day. As a special prize, we'll be giving away 2 signed copies of Jan Summers' best-selling books, More Wealth from Property and Building Wealth Story by Story. To go into the draw, simply visit likemypodcast.com and leave a 5-star review on iTunes and comment what you found most interesting from Jan Summers' property. I'll be picking the winner in June 2017 and announcing the lucky listener in a future episode. Stay tuned and thanks for listening.